Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Well, hello out there, fellow Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, show 449. My name is Tara Crooks, and I am your host.
And I'm your host, Mallory Fuchs. It's Monday, December 9th, 2013, and we are so glad that you've decided to join us tonight.
Well, hello, Miss Mallory. Hello, hello.
Hi.
So glad to hear your voice and not have any technical difficulties right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yay.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Good, good. I was like, is she going to be there? Is she going to be there? You never know. And it's never something we've done. We don't know what we're doing wrong. We do the same thing every week. So that's proof right now, right here, that it is not us. Okay. If you're joining us live, we hope that you are having a great Monday night. You can join us in the live chat that we have over on our show. If you're listening live, you probably can see it because it's going to open up as soon as you open up the show. Our chat moderator tonight is not Mallory. However, it is Kristen, and we have our veteran listeners. And just anybody who feels like chatting with us this evening over at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Like I said, when you click listen to the show, it's going to show up about halfway down the page. Be sure you log in, though. We tell you this every week. We're going to this is our last week of main chat. Did you know that? We're going to try something new in 2014, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but next week is our last show of the season. It's also a huge show for Army Wife Talk Radio. We're going to talk about some of that later on this evening. But anyhow, we are going to go straight from our chat room to Twitter party, and that's what we're going to be doing for 2014. We've got prizes every week, good stuff going on, and you won't have to have a login for anything. You're just going to log into Twitter like you normally would, and you can do that and or be in our chat room tonight. We do have a chat going on at Twitter at twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork, and we use hashtag ArmyWife. So you can ask questions and follow along, participate, all that jazz. But you could also log into the chat room, too. We've got them both going tonight, like I said, last night for the chat room. So go check it out.
Yeah, and huge thanks to our platform, Blog Talk Radio, and all of our AWN sponsorship team for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio tonight.
All right, so what's been going on? I know what our listeners don't know is that you and I are not too far. We're actually probably, of all the core team members, the closest to each other because we're, what, 45 minutes apart?
Yeah, or even 30, less than that, maybe more like 30, 45
minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
I was going to say, not too bad. And oh, no, I just realized that I forgot to do something. Sorry. And so since we are only 30 to 45 minutes apart from each other, we have both been digging out from underneath some ice. So I will just preface it with, I know what you're going through, and then I will let you tell us, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty cold. It was nice that we had a day off from work on Friday because we were all iced in, so I had a nice long weekend, got some stuff done around the house, got to Skype with Mark being deployed. So, and last week was a little more busy than usual, if that's even possible. Played mom for my two cousins. They're not young enough to be called babysitting because they're in their teens, but just, you know, stayed over while my aunt and uncle were gone and made sure they got to school on time and, you know, all that stuff. But it was also nice to get away from home for a few days. Living at home with the family gets kind of crazy sometimes. So I had my own room and was just over there keeping tabs on them. So that was nice. And counting down to Christmas, I feel pretty put together for Christmas this year. I feel like everything's on time, and I got Mark's care package out, and his twin brother Matthew is also deployed, so I got both their care packages out on time, and just getting ready for doing some DIY Christmas gifts for some people, and it's looking pretty good, and just normal life, trying to keep busy, and plan for our wedding when he comes back, and just all the craziness, so just chug it along.
Well, I know that he's basically going to be walking right into that wedding, straight
from
deployment. So I know it's getting a little stressful around there. So you didn't have to go to work.
No,
right?
On Friday I had to go in today. Today was the first day back, and it was a little dicey on the roads. There were some overpasses that were pretty still. They had a lot of ice on them, so people were going pretty slow. But yeah, Friday we had off. Had to get up early to check my email and make sure we didn't have work. But so yeah, it was nice to not have to go in early one day. So how were you guys? What did you guys do?
Well, let's see. Let me just tell you this. All right, let's back up. It iced, what, Thursday? Thursday evening? Is that right? It was Thursday evening. I don't know.
Yeah,
days
it started
ago,
on Thursday.
Yeah, so Friday I was like, okay, you know, they're not going to have school, and they called it, you know, and they called it. I will tell them this. They have done a really good job of calling it early so that we knew and could, like, you know, theoretically then the next day, which has been nice, even though we haven't. But so Friday I was like, okay, cool. And Kevin, you know, just did like a half a day at work and then came back, even though he, you know, he's famous. So they had to call the super squad in, you know, if they had to take care of things. Cracked me up there. That phone was ringing and ringing and ringing. I was like, oh, my God. So anyhow, that was Friday. And so Friday, you know, my kids just had a great snow day. They played outside all day. They were just, like, so happy to be just goofing off. And I had work to do, so I did my work. But then when I was done with work from home, I just kind of played with them, and we kind of hung out. And Renna's dance was canceled. And so we thought, well, we'll go out to dinner. So we drove up, and only Chili's was open. And so we had dinner all together. And then Saturday came, and we had so much fun on Saturday. They played in the snow some more. You know, we got all of our regular Saturday stuff done. We ventured out to Walmart. Yesterday came. We were all like, oh, so nice. We're all stocked up on food, which, by the way, the Walmart had nothing. It was, like, empty. Not because everybody freaked out and bought everything, but because there's no trucks coming in. So they usually have 4 or 5 trucks deliver a day, the guy said, and no trucks were coming in. So they had what they had, period. And so, you know, we got our groceries and everything. We were able to make it back. And by the way, you know, we're not as bad as some of the more northern Texas. And then also, you know, we've just got one major street between our house and Walmart. So we're kind of close. We didn't have to drive that far because I don't suggest that anybody goes anywhere. And then we got back home, and we were just relaxing all day yesterday. And then when the girls found out they didn't have school today, we were like, okay. And I thought, well, you know, it's no big deal, because most of my day I had not planned a lot of working stuff to do, because I was supposed to drive down to Irving to La Quinta to meet Cheryl and one of the managers down there at La Quinta. And so I was going to drive down there and have lunch with them. So I pretty much, my work days, you know, when the girls are at school, so pretty much my work day was null and void anyway. So I was like, okay, no big deal. So we crafted today, and we had such a great time. And we got done, and I was like, okay, girls got everything ready for school tomorrow. We got all of our presents done. You know, I got all my Christmas stuff done. I wrapped all my presents. Everything is done except for what's still coming, you know, from places that's never going to make it here because the trucks are somewhere. But otherwise, everything is pretty much done. I just felt so caught up and so wonderful. I was like, all right, I'm ready for them to go back to school, because only thing I'm not caught up on is work. And I'm going to work tomorrow, and I'm going to go to Jazzercise, and yeah, no school tomorrow.
Well, you know, okay. And they were right. They can be pretty doomsday around here in Texas. So, like, the local newscaster was saying the Metroplex will be entombed in ice, and we're all like,
okay, to be fair,
okay,
they were kind of right.
Yeah, like, this time.
Okay, but since we are being fair, I will admit that I was wrong, and because I said, I know that I replied to your Facebook post plus the other couple of them that was like, you know what, I'm just going to laugh when it rains, because the last time that they told us that all this was going to happen, you know, I mean, it's usually not true. It's usually like, yeah, right. No. You know, so I really did not expect it to be as bad as it was. I kind of feel
bad,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it's freezing. It's still freezing cold outside. It's below freezing. So, but I just kind of melted today. So I kind of thought tomorrow, you know, they'd hack it. Nope, not going to happen. So tomorrow is going to be an interesting day, because my girls have cabin fever. They are done, and they are both asking to go back to school. So when they're asking to go back to school, you know, that means it's time to go back to school. Anyhow, so it snowed, and it sleeted. And we got all of our stuff done, and it was a great productive 4 days, and we've all gotten nice and relaxed, and now we're all ready to go back to work. Every single one of us, even Daddy. And you know what else I need to get back on? An eating schedule, because this whole having them home, like, like, you guys...
It's like starting Christmas early,
No, seriously, no, we come from meal to meal. I'm like, dude, when you're not home, we have dinner. Like, we eat cereal for breakfast, and at lunch, I have my avocado. That's just the way I roll. And then at dinner, I make dinner. And so I'm used to making dinner every day, fine. But I'm not used to a production for lunch and a production for breakfast and an expectation in the morning. No. Time to go back. What did I do last week besides? We got our first Christmas card. And I wanted to talk about this. We have a few minutes. I like to talk. Anyhow, it's my favorite part of the shows when we get to catch up on everybody. But I know that you guys are newly military, but I know that this will be one thing that you really love on your journey too, is I absolutely love Christmas cards. And I know there are so many people out there that are like, it's a waste of paper, and you should go green and send online e-cards. And you're right. But when you're in the military, those cards every year are just awesome sauce. And we got our first couple of cards in the mail, and I was just so excited. I told Kevin, this is my favorite part of Christmas, is to catch up and see how everybody's doing and get pictures of everybody. And I just absolutely love doing that. So we did get our Christmas cards out. And then I also finished the girls' memory books, and we had a big long conversation on Facebook about that. But I make them a book about their year every year, and it's their memory book. I started about the fourth year I've done it, so 3 years ago. And I got those done. They were a pain in the butt this year. Lots of pictures to go through, which is good, but still difficult. And I did them on Shutterfly, and they're just so stinking cute. I can't wait to get them in the mail. But that is what I did last week. That was my main project, besides regular work stuff, was getting that complete. Anyhow, so how many presents have you got left to buy? Anything? You said you're almost done.
I think I have like one or two more things to buy, and then every year I try to do a DIY gift for some people. So like last year I did sugar scrubs, and then this year I'm doing these rice heating pads. So you take a piece of fabric and you sew it up, and then you put dry rice in there, and then sew that side up, and then you can put it in the microwave, put essential oil with it, you know, put it on store muscle. So that's my
good stuff
project.
We do ours with corn. I've not had them done with rice, but I thought I would like that too.
I've heard about corn
in them. Actually, I used to have one, and it had, what was it in? It wasn't rice, and it wasn't corn. I can't think of what it had in it. But anyhow, I loved it so much that I went and looked on Etsy, and I found one called Warm Hugs that I've been buying. We bought some of them for Christmas, as a matter of fact. But that is really cool, and I love DIY projects. Love, love, love. That's what I did today. It was a lot of stuff, and I gave a present to one of my good friends that lives here. But every year I try to do some sort of craft or DIY, too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'm also working on a big baby blanket for my boss at work. She's had her baby like a month ago, and I've been working on it. So I'm trying to get it done before Christmas, but I'm really excited to give her that. That'll be fun.
That is cool. So do you have one gift this year, speaking of excited to give it to her, that is your favorite? Like, you cannot wait to give it?
I can't wait for Mark to get his care package.
So Mark and his package? Okay.
I love putting together those.
Me too. I actually miss that, believe it or not. That's something that I miss whenever Kevin's not deployed is the care package fun. You guys all know I love that so much. I can't wait to give my oldest daughter her present, and she's got some really, each one of them's got one really big, cool present that they're going to get. But that's not what I'm most excited about. I'm most excited because I was able to find clothes that I think she's going to be excited about. And Chloe is so easy. Ren is so difficult. But I walked into Kohl's the other day, and it was like I hit the mother load. I was like, are you kidding me? This is awesome. And I'm just really excited for her to open some of the stuff. And I can't believe I got it all wrapped. Not to my husband's credit, little turkey. I was like, hey, you going to help me with this? And he was like, yeah, I'm helping. I'm like, that's not helping. That's watching. That's supervising. You're not helping me. He didn't wrap a single damn one this year.
So
zero credit. Last year he helped.
Well, I haven't wrapped anything yet. We put up
our
family.
Well, the only reason we got it
done is because
of the sleep.
Oh, yeah.
You do have your tree up?
Well, yeah.
Your tree
and
is
this is like a record for my Yeah, this is a record for our family. We usually wait until, like, the last possible moment before Christmas just because everybody's so busy. But we actually put it up yesterday. So
I saw, actually, on Facebook, presents. I saw your tree go up. Yep. And your sister, right? That was your sister in the pictures, correct?
Yeah, my 16-year-old yep. sister, Abby. So we did have fun. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
She was silly.
Well, I go the second I can. I can't wait to get it up and everything. But I didn't think I would be done this early with everything. I just, like I said, got 3 extra days of help here to do stuff, too. I should have made him clean the attic. Anyway, I should have said, wrap these presents or clean the attic. That's your choice. I shopped for all these presents. It was really funny, though, before we go to what happened to AWN this week, I have to tell you that I said tomorrow, I was like, we all have cabin fever. The roads are fine, and we are tired. I said, so tomorrow I'm going to do my work, and then I'm taking these girls to Target. And he looked at me, and he shook his head, said, please, God, no. Don't take the girls to Target. That's just a bad idea. Don't spend all of our money. I said,
but Target's
I'm
awesome.
I'm going to spend a lot of money, a lot of it. I'm going to spend all of our savings. He was like, Tara, I said, Kevin, it's almost Christmas. There's hardly anything to buy. And he's like, no, that's the problem. There's all that cool stuff. I said, I don't know, but we've got to go somewhere because I am not. The longer they stay here, the more stuff they mess up. And then I have to be the Wicked Witch of the West telling them to clean up the house all the time. I hate that. Ugh. My littlest one, she's just like a walking tornado, and she just does not understand. When you tell her to clean it up, she tells you that she didn't make the mess. Always. It doesn't matter. You can watch her do it, and then she'll still tell you she didn't do it. She's a turkey. All right, so what happened to AWN this week? While we were being iced in, there was all kinds of stuff going on, so let's get to that.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right. Well, over at our main site, armywifenetwork.com, we have a couple things going on. Becoming the Perfect Guest by AWN's Household 6, Kawanda, and she talks about how to be a guest. And so even those invited to a party have a job to do, and she lists 7 things that all guests should consider in order to be the perfect guest. So she wrote a great column over there. And then also we have STAR, Is Your Home a School or Vice Versa? And she's the co-author of 1001 Things to Love About Military Life. And she is heading up a series on homeschooling under the education column. Last month, she explored reasons why one should homeschool or public school, both sides of the coin. And this month, she says, it's important for me that we all know that regardless of A or B, we do not lose and should not give over control of our children's education. So that's another great column over there by STAR.
All righty. And then we have our Facebook page, which, by the way, hold up. I had us on there, and then I went to go answer a different question. We are, I think we're going to make the 70,000. I'm going to predict, I said that last week. I thought we would make it over the weekend, but it's been kind of slow growing. So let's see. I'm going to say by the end of the month. We're at 69,382 with about 7,000 people talking about us right now. This week the hot topics were from the inbox, an Army spouse experiencing feelings and symptoms of anxiety, and we had lots of feedback for her, so that was really good to see you guys all pitch in and be positive. I liked that. There wasn't a lot of negativity, which was nice. And there also was describe your favorite Christmas ornament and the story behind it. And then what Christmas activity that you and your family participated in every year. And I happen to know the little elf who is behind all the questions this month is having a really fun time with that. So and how well you guys are answering, Mallory. The little elf is Mallory. over at Loving a Soldier, lovingasoldier.com, our blog, which, by the way, in case you guys haven't met Mallory, I don't think she's been on the air yet at all. She is our Loving a Soldier blog assistant and works over there with Kristen on the blog, and that's her core team job position over here. I shared my favorite things, a few of my favorite things. Nicole shared We Are in Kansas. Oh, Toto, We Are in Kansas. And Laura shared The Best Worst Christmas Ever. And there was just some really, really cute blogs this week. I had a lot to comment on. And I normally don't do a whole lot of commenting. I mean, I comment, but I wrote some good comments and some actual authors this week, which is kind of fun. If you want to blog with us, we've still got room. But I tell you what, it's a hot commodity to be a blogger over at Loving a Soldier. You can email Kristen and Mallory at info@armywifenetwork.com. And that's all I have.
All right. Well, normally we have a PSA here, a public service announcement, but we don't have anything this week. So just a reminder for everybody out there, if your business has a military-related PSA, we take two per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance. So you can email us at info@armywifenetwork.com.
All right. So let's get this show on the road. This week we have Amy Robinson. She's the Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of the Direct Selling Association. You can find out more about the Direct Selling Association at dsa.org. You can also visit their Facebook page by going to facebook.com and then search Direct Selling Association. It's a long link. I'll let you guys come up with that one in the chat room, and then also over there on Twitter. Twitter.com is DSA411, as in the information on the Direct Selling Association, DSA411. Tonight, our resource of the week is Your Yeoman, and it's youryeoman.com, Facebook/YourYeoman, Twitter/YourYeoman, and Pinterest/YourYeoman. Hey, she's like Army Wife Network. I love it when people do everything that easy. It's so nice. Our minute tonight is the health minute, but first we've got Corey New Six, who is digging out from under some record below zero temperatures and a lot of snow, but safely home with her pups, and now her hubby is back, and everything is all well and good in Corey's world. She's here for our New Six headlines, so guys, stay tuned for more Army Wife Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Attention, Army Wives. Get your hoo-ah on in our Army Wife Network Marketplace. We've got perfect tees in many colors and sizes. Hats, bags, mugs, and more. Grab a little something for your Army bread, or show your AWN spirit by slapping a sticker on the back of your POV. Visit our shop from our homepage at www.armywifenetwork.com or find us on Cafe Press, www.cafepress.com/Army Wife Network. Hoo-ah!
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. We've been keeping up on foreign affairs in the AWN News 6 department, paying special attention on how they can affect our military. Here's a story about new movements to the African continent. The U.S. Air Force will begin transporting plane loads of African peacekeepers into the violence-torn Central African Republic in coming days, the Pentagon announced Monday. The French Minister of Defense on Sunday asked Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, in the midst of a five-country visit to the Middle East, for airlift support to help African forces quickly deploy into the country. In response to this request, Secretary Hagel has directed U.S. AFRICOM to begin transporting forces from Burundi to the Central African Republic in coordination with France, an assistant Pentagon press secretary said Monday. The airlift is expected to begin within the next 24 hours, according to a Pentagon spokesman, adding that 850 Burundian troops will be airlifted from Burundi to CAR in American C-17s. And as always, we're keeping you up to date on military benefits news. Congressional negotiators have decided on a 1% military pay raise for 2014, but are taking steps to ensure the White House is ultimately responsible for what would be the smallest annual pay bump since the birth of the all-volunteer force 40 years ago. Until now, the 2011 basic pay raise of 1.4% had been the smallest since the all-volunteer force was created at the end of the Vietnam War. The 1% raise, which would be effective 1 January, would also end a string of 21 consecutive years in which the military pay raise matched or exceeded private sector wage growth. The compromised 2014 National Defense Authorization Act, approved by leaders of the House and Senate Armed Services Committees, is actually silent on the military raise, allowing a presidential executive order signed in August to determine the raise. President Obama notified Congress on August 30th that he was exercising his new power as the government pay agent to cap the January 1 pay increase at 1%. Service members would be due a 1.8% increase under the federal pay formula that is still a part of permanent law. The House had approved a 1.8% military pay raise in June as part of its version of the annual defense policy bill, but the Senate Armed Services Committee backed the White House. And in tonight's health news, a piece on how to keep holiday stress from overwhelming us. The holidays are supposed to be a time of joy and celebration, but let's face it, they can sometimes be tough. And sometimes they can turn into a full-blown stress bomb. There's the stuff that everyone has to deal with, the typical civilian holiday headaches that range from the hunting and gathering of presidents to family feuding, and then there's the stress that only those in the military will know. Here are some tactics and techniques to help you navigate those high-tension holiday minefields and defuse the stress bombs. Find the funny. Try to find the humor in your crazy in-laws, the burnt turkey, or whatever holiday curveballs get thrown at you. Laughter is a great way to diffuse tension and cope with stress. Cool off before things get heated. When holiday stress gets high, tensions can flare even in the best of marriages and relationships. When things get heated, good communication strategies are key. Keep reasonable bedtimes for kids. Lack of sleep can turn into drama, and then that can create friction between the parents. Amp up the exercise. Yeah, it's the holidays. You want to chill out, watch the game, eat some turkey. PT can wait till you're back from leave, right? Maybe, but remember, exercise is the great equalizer when stress is high. And ease off the booze. With all the parties and gatherings, some of that holiday cheer often comes in a bottle, sometimes too much. Have a few drinks if you want, but be smart about it. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
Thanks, Corey. Okay, guys, stay tuned. We've got more Army Wife Talk Radio coming right up.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS. Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy, and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave, too. Which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all. That no one visited those vets. And that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Servicemen and women are coming home bearing the physical and emotional wounds of war. Anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and substance abuse often appear after the excitement of homecoming subsides. Seeking help is a sign of strength. Visit HealthyMinds.org to learn more about military mental health from the American Psychiatric Association.
Do us a favor. Look on the seat next to you. Are there any fast food remains? A crinkled-up burger wrapper? A fry container, perhaps? Did you know that if you simply limited eating out, you could save tons of cash? Cash that could allow you to pay off your house by the time you retire. Makes you sort of queasy thinking of what's been wasted. Or maybe that's the chili cheese dog. This has been a message from Military Saves, where saving money is easy once you know where it's been going. To learn more, go to www.militarysaves.org.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Mallory Fuchs.
Well, welcome, welcome. Okay, guys, well, here's the deal. Tonight we were supposed to have the Direct Selling Association, and we are not getting Amy on the line for some reason. So we are going to talk about working from home because that was what the topic was for tonight. And, you know, you're really lucky because we have got work-from-homers here. Actually, I'm hoping that this might be Amy. Hold on just a second. Let's see.
Hello?
Amy, is that you on the line?
Yes, it is.
Yay, we have you. Okay. Well, you weren't calling in. We got worried. Hold on just a second. We're just going to back up, you guys, and we'll just start with letting Mallory do your intro, and then we'll just dig right into things. Good, because I was worried we were going to have to talk about work at home. Not that we couldn't, because we could, but you've got much more information that we want to dig into. So, Mal, I'll let you take it away.
All right. Well, tonight we have with us Amy Robinson. Amy joined the Direct Selling Association in August of 1999 and has held several positions prior to her current role as Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer. She is responsible for all aspects of the association's communications program, including outreach to trade and mainstream media, branding and marketing, and administration of DSA's online and social media strategy.
Amy earned her accreditation in public relations from the Public Relations Society of America in 2007, and she earned the designation of Certified Associate Executive from the American Society of Association Executives in 2009. She was also elected to the Board of Directors of the National Capital Chapter of PRSA in 2009 and is currently serving her third term there. Amy previously worked on Capitol Hill as a legislative correspondent for former U.S. Representative Harold Volkmer and in the Government Affairs Department at the National Association of Home Builders. She holds a master's degree in legislative affairs from George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and a bachelor's degree in journalism and one in political science from the University of Missouri-Columbia. By the way, I'm from Springfield, Missouri. Yay, go Columbia. and we're just really excited that you are here with us tonight on the show. So let's dig in. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We've had you on the show before, but in case a listener, you know, didn't listen to that show or wasn't familiar, tell us about yourself and where you're calling from.
Sure. Well, we are based in Washington, D.C., and so that's where I'm calling from, our nation's capital. And we are a trade association, as you mentioned, and we represent about 250 direct selling companies that have applied for membership and gone through our membership review process, which lasts at least a year, during which time we, you know, make sure the companies are operating according to our code of ethics and, you know, really have the best interest of both the consumers and their consultants in mind. And then we work with those companies and also with legislators and regulators to make sure that the marketplace stays open for direct sellers. So those 16 million direct sellers in the U.S. can operate their businesses and achieve whatever their personal goals are.
That's a mouthful. But let's back up for just a second and talk about what direct selling is. I know that to me, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you know, direct selling. But some people, it's something new, or they might want some more example, I guess, of some companies that do direct sales. Can you give us some examples and explain exactly what it is?
Sure. Well, you know, most people have definitely heard of a number of direct. They don't realize that that's the distribution model both companies have. But it's companies that sell through home parties or personal demonstrations. So you have a consultant who might meet with, one person and demonstrate and explain those products. Or you might have a gathering of a number of people at the home of a hostess where the consultant comes and demonstrates the products, be that, jewelry or health products or, clothing or any number of different product lines that they might have. And those people get the opportunity to peruse the product line and, you know, they might try on jewelry and say to their friend, oh, do you like this item? Oh, yeah, that one I love that one. It's great. It's a really fun way to shop with your friends. But also, you know, have some good conversation, you know, some good, wine, beverages, you know, food and fun, and really is a great way to shop.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, those things are a lot of fun. So why would people get involved in direct selling as opposed to, you know, that is a job as opposed to going, you know, to an office or the traditional job that you might think of? So what would be some incentives or reasons?
Well, one of the great things about direct selling is its flexibility and the fact that people can get involved and have so many different types of goals. So, for example, somebody might just be looking to make a couple $100 a month to either pay the electric bill or, you know, buy Christmas presents for the kids or whatever the case might be. Other people might be more interested in a longer-term or full-time income. Some people get involved because they want to buy the products at a discount. Some people get involved because, you know, they like the recognition that comes along with, doing a job well. And, direct selling companies are great at recognition. And just you name it, there's, probably somebody who's gotten involved in a company, you know, for a particular reason. And interestingly, people get involved in direct selling companies often for one reason, but once they've accomplished that, and they find out what direct selling really is all about, they stay for a different reason. So, you know, they may come in for that short-term income, but they may stay because they love, you know, the recognition that they get. So it's really very flexible and allows.
Well, yeah, that's great about it being.
No, I was going to say the same thing.
I love the flexibility aspect about it. And, you know, maybe my next question for you is going to be why it might appeal to military spouses, and perhaps flexibility might be one of those reasons.
It is definitely one of those reasons. The portability of the direct selling is really appealing to military families because, you know, you can be on, you know, one base or one area and, you know, build your business. And if you're moved, you have to deploy to a different area, then you can just take that business with you. You still have the consultants and your customers, you know, where you started, but then you can build a whole new community in the new area where you're based. So it really gives you an opportunity to not only use the business to become acclimated to your new surroundings. A lot of people like to use it as a conversation starter or just to get to know people. But you don't really have to give up what you've already built where you started. So the portability really is key.
Right. Yeah, it's really nice not to have to, like, pull up roots and then go somewhere else and grow new roots. You just go all around. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little more about the Direct Selling Association itself. So what is it and, you know, what is more of your role with that?
Well, the Direct Selling Association is a trade association, and we have a number of roles. We work with companies to make sure that they're practicing only the highest ethical business standards with regard to both the customers of the products as well as those people who are consultants with the company. And, you know, that's making sure that they're, you know, using reasonable earnings claims, that the products and their price and their quality are all described appropriately, that there's no inventory loading, which means, you know, having people buy a lot of inventory they can't sell. Those types of things are all included in the standards that DSA sets. We also then work with regulators and legislators to make sure that the laws and regulations that are passed that might affect direct sellers don't affect them negatively, and in fact would be positive for them. And then also we educate the public about what direct selling is. This very interview is one of those opportunities for us to educate people about what direct selling is, how they can get involved, what the benefits are. So those are really the three main things that the association does. And it's just a really it's a great opportunity to reach different audiences and help promote direct selling.
Tell me how the Direct Selling Association is reaching out to military spouses.
Well,
and how you're connecting them too.
Sure, absolutely. Well, as we discussed, it's a great opportunity for military families. So we've actually had a lot of interest from different military groups as well as publications. We have done some work with Military Spouse Magazine and some others to, in fact, reach out and educate military families about why this is a great opportunity, what they can do, how they can get involved, how to choose a direct selling company. And we continue these outreach efforts. We've spoken to a number of groups, both active-based military groups as well as spouse and other support groups as well. So, providing training sessions for them about how to choose an opportunity, and just a whole range of things. We're always open to other organizations that might be interested in working with us, and of course we appreciate this opportunity to get the word out as well. So, just a great opportunity to educate people and talk about the different benefits of direct selling, particularly as they relate to the military.
Cool. If somebody is interested in learning more about starting a direct selling business, what would you recommend they do? What are the steps to start it and make it successful?
Sure. Well, a lot of people will become familiar with a direct selling company because they themselves use the products first. So, whether it's a particular brand of jewelry or, nutritional supplements or kitchen products or whatever it is, a lot of people, find that they're using the products first, and then all of a sudden they realize, hey, I could stand up there and do that demonstration, like that hostess at this party that I'm at. Maybe that would be a great opportunity for me to earn a little bit of extra money. So they explore it that way. Other people, they find that, they're looking for income, and so they go out specifically looking for a company. And in that instance, if you don't have one in mind already, I would definitely recommend that you choose something that you're interested in. So, if you really love cooking, choose, kitchen or cooking products. If you love jewelry and you're always looking for something new to wear and, always want to stay on trend, then definitely look for a company that sells products along those lines. Because, the whole idea with this is that you're telling people, your friends and family, and then also other people who you would have something in common with by virtue of the connections that you make, you're telling them why you love these products. It's about word of mouth and personal referral. So if you're not selling something that, you can personally vouch for and say, hey, I love these products and here's why, then you're probably not going to be as effective at selling them. If it's something that you truly love, and, can really be passionate about and let people know why you love those products. So definitely choose something that you're interested in. And then, if you haven't, been familiar, if you're not familiar with a particular company, go to one of their parties or their demonstrations. See what it's all about. See what the energy in the room is, and if that seems like it's a fit for you. Every company is a little bit different. They have different philosophies. They have, different stories, different products, different compensation plans. So, if you don't have one in mind already, you really want to get out there and experience the company. Ask a lot of questions. Make sure you understand the compensation plan. Just make sure that you're fully versed in the company before you sign on. And, of course,
yes,
Yeah, you want to make sure you get all those questions answered. And, if you can't get the answers from, everything that you need to know from the consultant, call the company directly. They should be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. And one of the most important things from my point of view is that the company be a member of the Direct Selling Association so that you know that they're abiding by all those tenets of the Code of Ethics.
So let's talk about that. Absolutely, I want to reiterate the point, ask questions, and I want to make sure I drive home the point, do something you are passionate about. There is I mean, it doesn't matter. If you love lip gloss and you just love lip gloss and people know you for lip gloss, sell lip gloss. Do not sell diet pills if you don't give a crap about them. People kill me and do not have seven businesses because you just cannot convince me that you're passionate about seven different things. So I tune out. That's just my two cents for that. When everybody's like, oh, I have six businesses, and I'm like, no, you can't possibly even run one of those effectively if you have six of them, so don't get me started. But let's talk about legitimacy because, you know, you mentioned one of the things is go to the Direct Selling Association, see if they're members because you do some checks and balances. But how can someone tell the difference? What's some dead giveaways between a legitimate direct selling opportunity and one that is not?
Well, there are several things that we tell people to look for. First, you want to look at what it takes to get involved. So most companies have a startup kit that you would purchase to get involved and, you know, get to be able to start selling the products. Usually that kit has a very reasonable cost. You know, the median cost for a startup kit is about $99. Now, having said that, there are definitely some that are less, either, you know, $10 maybe, and some that are more. They could be several hundred dollars if you have a higher priced product that you're selling. The startup kit might be more for the reason that you're probably going to be getting some product samples in that kit. So if you have a higher priced item, you know, those samples that you need to get started are you know, going to be a little more costly. But the key is to make sure that whatever you're paying for it, it's reasonable based on what you're getting in return. The alternative being paying several thousand dollars for what really amounts to nothing more than the right to recruit other people to do the same thing. So say you're going to start with, you know, a company that sells jewelry. It might be a couple hundred dollars, but you're going to be getting, you know, several nice pieces of jewelry that, you know, frankly, you can wear yourself as well. So, you know, you'll be able to start with those base pieces of jewelry in order to add more to your collection as you, you know, continue in the business. But the key is just making sure that you're not just, you know, essentially giving money to the person who's bringing you in. You have to be able to get something in return for that that's reasonable. The next thing you want to look for is you want to make sure that the company is selling products to the ultimate users of those products. So, for example, you know, you might choose to buy some inventory. Most companies don't require inventory purchases, but some people choose to have inventory on hand. So you want to make sure that, you know, the products that you're purchasing are purchasing an amount that's reasonable for what you feel like you could sell. Because what you want to avoid is what we call inventory loading, which is kind of making it seem like there's a legitimate product, but, you know, all you're really doing is paying, you know, for the right to recruit other people. And so you want to make sure that that's very reasonable. And finally, you want to make sure there's a buyback policy. And what that means is that if you've purchased a sales kit, or you've purchased an inventory, if you decide that direct selling is not for you, that company should agree to purchase that product back from you. And under the Direct Selling Association Code of Ethics, the provision is that it's at least the company will buy those things back from you at least 90% of what you paid for them. And that is, in fact, one of the tenets of the Code of Ethics that all Direct Selling Association companies must abide by. And the purpose of that really is just to make sure that somebody can try direct selling. You know, they can do what they need to do to get their business started, but they don't risk financial loss by giving it a try. If it's not for them, they can call it quits, and, you know, there's no harm done. So those are several things that you really want to look for in a company.
Yeah, those are some great guidelines and good things to think about. Because, you know, you hear people say, like, oh, is that a pyramid scheme? And, you know, pyramid schemes are illegal, you know. So it's not, you know, there are legitimate ones, and then there's not. So,
yeah.
So when someone's getting started for the first time in direct selling, what can they expect? You know, how would you suggest setting goals and expectation management and all that? What should a new person
sure.
do?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said before, people get involved for a lot of different reasons. Most people in direct selling, they work less than 10 hours a week at their business, so it's definitely a part-time endeavor for them. So you really, when you start out, you need to know, before you even sign up, you need to think about what your goals are. You know, is this something that you want to earn just a couple hundred dollars a month, or is this something you want to pursue as a full-time business? And then you need to set your goals based on those items, you know, the goal that you have. So, you know, the person who's recruiting you, They may work 40 hours a week at the business and use it as a full-time income, but, you know, you might just be looking for a little bit of money on the side. So while it's great to understand what her success is and, you know, how she's approached the business, you need to put that in the context of how you're going to approach the business. Because, you know, if she's making a full-time income and working 40 hours a week, but you're only planning on working 5 hours a week, well, you know, your income is probably not going to be as high as hers. So you just need to put that all in context and make sure that, you know, you have realistic expectations of what you're going to earn based on how you are deciding that you want to approach the business.
Now, is there any particular skill set that you think that someone needs to have or some qualities, maybe some personality qualities, to be successful at direct selling?
You know, that is a very interesting question, and I get asked that question a lot of times. But, you know, the interesting thing about direct selling and what so many people report that they have found is, you know, when they see that person up there, the hostess, who is, you know, giving that demonstration, some people sit there and think, oh, gosh, you know, I can't imagine getting up in front of a group of people and giving this demonstration. But then, you know, maybe they go to a couple parties and they say, well, you know what, let me see, you know, I really would like to earn some extra money, so, you know, let me give it a shot. And, you know, it's usually those people who feel like maybe that, you know, they're not sure they can get up there and give that presentation or they've never gotten up in front of a group of people before. Oftentimes it's those people who are like, oh, my gosh, I never realized I could do this. I'm good at it. And I even like it. You know, so many people find skills that they never even imagined that they had just by giving direct selling a shot. So, you know, it's hard to say, oh, well, you know, you have to be able to do this or that or have this kind of personality, because oftentimes you don't even realize, you know, how great at selling you can be and how much fun you can have with direct selling until you get up there and try it. So, you know, I think probably the most important thing, though, really is to have those realistic expectations and to know what you want to accomplish so that you can set your goals and your business plan up with those things in mind. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the rest of it, the business skills, the presentation skills, those types of things, you know, they are developed naturally, you know, based on, you know, just giving it a shot and seeing how it goes.
Well, to go along with that, with, you know, setting up a business and how does the compensation work with the direct selling businesses? I know that they're all a little different, but, you know, how does that work since you're not technically an employee of the company? You're an independent contractor, basically, right?
Yes, direct sellers are independent contractors, so they are not employees of the company. And, you know, as you mentioned, every company is a little bit different, but essentially what it entails is the seller will get a certain percentage of the sales that he or she makes. And in a company that has a multi-level compensation plan, they will also make a certain percentage based on the sales of those who they've brought into the business. So, you know, if they've recruited somebody, you know, they might make 25%, for example, on their own sales, but maybe they'll make, you know, 2 to 5% on the sales of those who they've brought into the business. And, you know, it's really going back to the discussion of legitimate companies and, you know, how to identify pyramid schemes. That's really one of the key things is that, you know, the products that your compensation has to be based on the sale of products and services, not merely on bringing someone into the business. So, you know, if you're getting compensated just because somebody has signed on the dotted line, that's definitely a red flag. But if you're bringing someone into the business and you get compensated once they start making sales, that's how the compensation should work in a direct selling company.
All right, well, let's talk about somebody who's already got their business under whoever it is that they've decided to sign up with and they are working it. How do you grow that business? What tips do you have for people who want to make their business bigger?
Well, you know, for all the ways that we talk about that direct selling is unique, that's actually one of the ways that direct selling, you know, operates very much like a traditional business. You need to find a customer base and develop a customer base. With direct selling, most people start out with their friends and family, but if you're really serious about running a full-time business through direct selling, you know, you have to branch out from that. You know, you have to talk to the person who is in front of you in the line at the grocery store or somebody who you might meet at a banquet or a luncheon or, you know, whatever your social circle is, you know, you have to be willing to talk about your business. So, you know, that's really the way that the successful direct sellers, you know, are able to continue that business. And, you know, it does require stepping out of your shell a little bit and, you know, moving beyond the people in your immediate community. But, you know, that's how traditional businesses work, too. You know, you're always looking for, you know, a customer base that is interested in your products. And, you know, you might find those people anywhere. And that's really what you need to be looking for if you really want to grow your business, you know, beyond just, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month or even buying the products for yourself at a discount.
So comparing that, comparing direct selling with other ways of work, so how is the direct selling industry performing as the economy continues to recover from the recession, you know, compared to other places of work, places of business?
Well, direct selling during really thrives during any economic time. And interestingly enough, you know, even during poor economic times, direct selling does fairly well because you've got a lot of people who are interested in earning extra money. So those people are coming into the business. And people always ask, well, you know, during a recession, you might have all these people coming in, but who's buying? And the reality of it is that even during a recession, people are still buying things. They just shop a little bit differently. So, for example, instead of, you know, a professional woman buying a new suit every season, she might buy a necklace to accessorize the suit she already has. So, you know, she's still out there spending some money. It's just, you know, maybe less money. She's a little more particular about what she purchases. But, you know, there's still opportunities for people to purchase. And as people stay home more during the recession, you know, there's opportunities for in-home demonstrations and parties are also a great way to get together with friends and family, you know, without having to, you know, go spend, you know, $50 on dinner or a movie or whatever the case might be. So the environment for direct selling, even during a recession, is fairly good. As you mentioned, you know, the economy is recovering. And, you know, what does that mean for direct selling? Well, you know, it does mean that the rate of people coming into direct selling might be a little less. We still have obviously a lot of people who are joining direct selling. But at the same time, you know, you've got people who, you know, again, are coming in for all kinds of reasons and, you know, are selling to their friends and family and, you know, creating those new customer bases. And so direct selling really is doing very well. In 2012, there was about $31 billion in sales in the U.S. alone, about 15.9 million sellers in the U.S., people who participated in any, you know, range of capacities, whether it's a few hours a week or full-time. And so direct selling, you know, really is thriving.
Well, I thought it was interesting when I was looking on the web, on the DSA website, it said that by 2020, contingent workers like freelancers and independent contractors are estimated to make up 40% of the workforce. So that's pretty significant.
It is. And, you know, the other interesting demographic that is, I think, going to be a good place for direct sellers really is the Gen Y generation. As, you know, you ask a lot of people in the Gen Y generation, you know, what kind of work environment do they have? And a majority of them, you know, want to work for themselves. They, you know, want to have their own business. They don't want to have a boss. You know, they're interested in things that, you know, will keep them in social contact with other people. And many of them, you know, want to be entrepreneurs. And, you know, so the mindset of that age group really is very, very conducive to the direct selling model just because of the flexibility and the ability to really, you know, kind of forge your own way and run the business the way you want to run the business. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of individuals who are going to be looking to direct selling both as a way to sell products that they themselves, you know, might create, as well as, you know, coming in as, you know, a seller for a company that's already existing.
And you've got all kinds of great resources over there at Direct Selling Association. I mean, it is a wealth of information. What things do you want to make sure, if someone were to go visit your website today, that they took time to pay attention or took notice of on the site?
Well, there really are a lot of interesting things on the website. In fact, we have, you know, two websites that I would tell people to go to, either dsa.org, which is our, I'll call it our corporate website, we're association-based. But I think, you know, for your listeners, probably the best website is the directselling411.com website. And that has resources for people who are interested in buying the products, people who are interested in becoming a direct seller, and also people who may have, you know, had an interaction with a direct seller and just want to know more about the business. So I would definitely suggest that people check out that website. One of the really interesting things on there, especially if you want to get a feel for who's involved in direct selling, We have a profiles page up there, which allows people to come and just really kind of tell their direct selling story, you know, why they got involved, why they stayed in the business, you know, what their success has been. And I think what you'll see from that is there's so many different motivations for people getting involved. But, you know, at the heart of it, the key is the flexibility for these people, no matter what their motivation is, to accomplish their goals. But, you know, most of the information we've talked about here tonight, it's up there on the website. You can, you know, look at those profiles and, you know, really get a good feel for the business and if it's something that you think you're interested in pursuing.
Well, that's awesome. So can you repeat those websites one more time and tell our listeners where we can find you at?
Absolutely. The first one was dsa.org. And the second is directselling411.com.
Well, great. Thank you.
Good stuff. And we gave your social media stuff at the beginning of the show. Look them up on Facebook, Direct Selling Association, or twitter.com/DSA411. And you can keep up on all the hot tips over there. Amy, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy night to join us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for the invitation.
No problem. All right. Well, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, listeners, that does it for our main guest segment this evening, but don't go anywhere. Up next, we have Janet with our resource of the week, Lori from Your Yeoman. Stay tuned. We've got more Army Wife Talk Radio coming right up.
Army Wife Talk Radio salutes our soldiers.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heartbeat to meet the red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. What should old acquaintance be forgot? Keep your eye on the grand old flag.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR Resource of the Week.
Hi, and welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. It's time for our Resource of the Week, and I'm your host, Janet McIntosh. Every week, we feature informative resources for you, our military families. And this week, we have with us Lori Clinton, owner and CEO of Your Yeoman. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing excellent. We normally start our segment off by letting you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Great. Well, my name is Lori Clinton, and I've been a military spouse for just about 20 years. My husband's been in the, well, had been in the Navy for 26 years. He retired a little over a year ago. And I grew up in a military family. My dad was in for 28 years, also Navy. We have a 17-year-old son who's graduating high school this year. And I'm calling from Chesapeake, Virginia, the Hampton Roads area.
Well, excellent. Thank you and your family so much for your service, and congratulations on making it to retirement.
Yes, it's definitely different.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, tonight we have you on the show because you started a company called Your Yeoman, and I hope I'm saying that right. What made you decide to start the company?
I actually have had my own concierge service for about 6 years now, and so I'm an experienced business owner. But I was having lunch one day with a very good friend of mine, and she's a newer military spouse, and it was her birthday, and she just started crying. I felt so bad. I didn't know what to do, and she was upset because her husband didn't send her a birthday card. He didn't call her. No email, no nothing. So I was trying to comfort her and explain to her that, you know, it's not personal. A lot of times they just don't have access to that. So we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, my gosh, I should do that as a business. So we launched it from there.
Wow, what an incredible story. Bless her heart. Now,
yeah.
Now you said you owned a concierge service before you started this one.
Mm-hmm.
And how long
Correct.
Did you do that for again?
6 years. I actually still have it. I kind of combine the two. It's a little easier to run one than two.
Right. And do you have, like, a degree in business? Like, what's your business background?
No, my business background is I worked in the corporate world for over 20 years. I managed an accounting and HR department at an environmental firm for 14. And we moved here to Virginia from California, and I tried to find a job that was comparable, and it just didn't happen. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to start my own thing. I love to shop. You know, I love to, you know, my husband thought it was perfect because I was going to be spending other people's money. He said it doesn't get any better than that. So I just, you know, I really had no clue how to actually start one. How to run one, I had down pat, but starting it, that was a whole other ballgame.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, you've told our listeners, obviously, you have a lot of experience with the military, having a military family and then being a military spouse. Is there certain experiences that come with being a part of the military for so long that make you good at what you do?
Yes, definitely. I had been an ombudsman. I did that for several years. I had been involved with my husband's FRG, you know, wherever we went. So I have the experience of hearing, you know, both sides, from the service member and from the family back home, and dealing with the problems that they had on day-to-day. So I think it helped a lot putting this business together and running it smoothly.
And I imagine it probably gave you some better insight into the things that they might need while facing deployment, like the certain types of services and stuff that they would require having that experience.
Definitely. It really has. With my husband being Navy, though, I am still learning how that other branches of service, their deployments can
right.
be a little bit different. So
oh, yeah.
I am learning that. Yeah, and we are bringing on people who have experience in those branches of service. So, you know, I learn from them, they learn from me, and it just makes us a little bit more rounded, I guess you could say.
Right. Now, do you have employees that work for you?
We do. We actually have 8 right now. We just hired on our 8th employee.
Okay, excellent. And so you work with all branches of service, correct?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. Do you also work with the National Guard and Reserve?
We want to. We've had a little bit of a harder time branching out to them, but we've got our foot in the door at a couple little resources. So we're hoping to cultivate those relationships so that we can help them as well.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what type of help have you given service members? Can you give our listeners some examples?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Let's see. We've had the service member young, very young service member who had his storage unit broken into. And so, of course, I was listed as emergency contact. And luckily, before he left, I made him do an inventory of everything, you know, take pictures of the serial numbers, all that fun stuff. So it was an easy, you know, file the police report and put it through, you know, the insurance. It went smooth. If I hadn't done that for him or he didn't have me, it would have been a lot more difficult for him. Let's see, we've had, oh gosh, just a couple weeks ago, one of my service members, he's single and he owns a home, and on a weekly home check-in service, I noticed a buildup of water on one side of the house outside, and he had a pipe that burst underneath the house. So luckily, we caught that and saved him a few dollars.
That's amazing.
A lot of stuff you don't really think about before you go that could happen. You know, hot water heaters, we've had those burst.
Right.
You know, the same type of thing that would happen to a spouse who's home. Everything breaks when you're gone on, never
yeah.
fails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good old Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Now, according to the website, you have several different packages that you offer. And do you do things that are outside the scope of those packages?
Oh, definitely. We do a lot of actually grocery shopping. I actually have a lot of retired military that I do grocery shopping for because they just don't have the ability to go out and do it themselves. And we will do that for a lot of single service members as well. we also can, you know, any of these services we can do individually if they don't want an entire package. And we're pretty much open to any type of suggestions. And actually our very first client, he was a Marine. He was getting ready to deploy and his wife was pregnant. So I sat down with him and we made a bunch of videos. And then I went and got her a little gift. So after she had the baby, went to the hospital and gave her all the stuff. And, you know, that's something we don't put on there that we do. But he asked. So, you know, of course we're going to do that. There's no way we wouldn't.
Right. Now we've talked about this kind of as a resource for those that are deployed. But I noticed that you just gave the example of a retired veteran using the service. Mm-hmm. So is the service available to, like, let's say, military spouses and our retired veterans?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. That's really good to know, because sometimes when they're deployed, it's nice to have maybe a second pair of hands that can help with something, especially in cases of emergencies or something like that.
Oh, definitely.
So how does somebody go about signing up for the service?
Well, what we do is we are working. We've been to quite a few pre-deployment briefs, so we'll sign up service members at those. We also have on our website where they can go right on, purchase the package they want to get, and then we contact them after that. We've had service members sign up through email, over the phone, in person, you know, any way that's convenient for them, we're there to help them out.
That's excellent, excellent. And it sounds like it's an easy process as well.
Very. With the accounting and HR background, I'm like the total paper organizer person. And, the only problem is if you do throw a little, you know, coin in my little wheel there and it stops, I get a little flustered, but then we get right back on track.
Excellent. I totally understand. I'm typically the same way. I get very set in my ways. But that's great to know that you've made it very easy and that your background has helped in that area. So what are some other ways that you're involved with the military community?
We actually just started a volunteer program and we're signing up. I think we just hit our 36th person that signed up to volunteer with us.
Well,
and we're starting to put out there to different organizations, hey, we're here to help you volunteer. We go to the Fisher House once a month in Portsmouth, and we will, you know, we'll cook for them, iron sheets, which I've never done that at home, but, you know, I am more than happy to do that there. I don't mind at all. And so we just put any volunteer opportunities we can find out there for other military spouses and even service members and kids, just so they can get out there, keep busy, and get involved.
I think it's always great when we give our military kids and children a way to get more involved in their communities. So that's great that you offer that for them. So let me ask you this. Can you describe, basically to put this into more perspective, a typical day for your yeoman?
You know, that's kind of difficult to do because, honestly, every day is different. It really is. You know, even though we've got our list of services and things that we do, that because every service member is different, it's always different. I don't know if that makes much sense, but it's never really the same. So, you know, we've got our daily tasks of, you know, checking the email, making posts on Facebook, you know, going out and checking on homes. Something could happen. I'll make friends with the neighbor next door when I do that. And it's different every single day. And I couldn't ask for a better job.
That's awesome. That's excellent. So let me give you an opportunity to tell our listeners why they should hire your yeoman, why they should hire your services.
Our mission is strictly to keep our service members and their families close during their deployment. I mean, that's our key. And we obviously have branched out from that. But anything we can do to help them through a deployment, we want to be here to assist them. We know how difficult it can be, you know, just a shoulder. We're here. No judgment, no nothing. It's just strictly whatever you need, we can help you with that.
And what is do you have like any other organizations that you partner with or that you work with that are also part of the military community?
We do. We work a lot with Military One Click. They're actually a really good resource that we use, and we actually refer a lot of people to. We also send people to Dogs on Deployment because that is, we do pet sitting, but we don't do long-term pet sitting or have pets go to the homes of our employees. So we use that as one of our resources. We also work with the Rosie Network, which is kind of like a Angie's List for military, where they have a list of veterans, military spouses, or even active duty who own their own business. So we look for handyman, you know, that's a veteran. We try to stay within our community to help us with other tasks that we might have along the road.
Right, right. Now, I also noticed on the website, you talk about the Your Yeoman Foundation. Is this
yes.
like a special charity or something that your company does, or is that just the basic company?
No, that's something we're starting up. We've submitted our paperwork for a 501(c). I have a hard time getting that out sometimes. we've submitted that, and we're just waiting to hear back. We have a lot of people who are very interested in adopting a service member or wanting to donate things to our service members or even just give us items to put in care packages. So we want to have a way, you know, be able to give them a tax write-off for that or something, and this
right.
is a way we can do it. We want to be able to give back to the people that are helping us as well as the military families.
Now, I noticed that you guys also have a blog on your website. What does your blog normally contain? What will our listeners find there?
We're actually starting to get more guest bloggers on there, but right now we're pretty much, we do a Trader Joe's Tuesday, which we go to Trader Joe's every Tuesday for quite a few of our clients, and we shop for them. We even actually do a lot of shipping to service members because they don't have access
right,
to Trader
right.
Joe's. And then we do a Whole Foods Wednesday as well. And so we'll put recipes on there. We'll give organizing tips. We work with a fabulous vet called Major Mom, and she's a personal organizer. And she gives us lots of tips to share with our service members and their families.
That's excellent. And one thing I do love about your site, too, and so our listeners know, is that you have a tally to the right that shows how many service members you've helped and how many volunteer hours have been donated in those efforts. I think that's great when you can go to a website and actually kind of get a visual of the work that's being done by an organization. So I think that's great that you include that on your site as well. So let me ask you, oh, you're very welcome. What do you see as the future for your human? Where do you see it in like 5 years?
Oh, gosh, I'm very ambitious. My goal is to have at least 2 reps on every base worldwide in 5 years.
Wow, that
yeah,
is a
that's
goal.
My goal.
And is that on all installations, like stateside, or getting more involved with installations and stuff that are overseas?
We want to do overseas, and the reason why we want to do that is we only hire military spouses, and actually I have to expand on that. We do hire moms, you know, who have children that are in the military. We hired our first one a couple weeks ago, but with those military spouses, they transfer, and we make it so the jobs go with them. They're portable, flexible, and, you know, they go with you. And when they transfer, we want them to be able to keep their job when they go.
That's excellent. Now, we talked a little bit about how you're beginning to start this volunteer program,
mm-hmm.
and I'm all about volunteering. I'm a huge advocate of volunteering and giving back to your community. What are some of the typical tasks that a volunteer might be asked to do if they chose to volunteer with your organization?
The basic things that we do are like the Fisher House, the cooking, cleaning. We'll do, we've worked with Wounded Wear, where we'll go to their events and we'll, you know, do setup, takedown, will sell from their trailer. They have products that they sell, do sign-ups at other types of events, things like that. We don't we try not to get involved in anything that's too labor intense, as far as heavy lifting and things like that, because we don't want anybody to get hurt. But that's pretty much where we're gearing toward, and we just signed up with Volunteer Hampton Roads, so we're hoping to get a little bit more involved with them and, you know, get more opportunities out there.
That's excellent. That's great that you're getting finding more ways for people to volunteer with the organization. Now, before we run out of time, because we are getting to that point, though, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but do you want to describe to our listeners what a yeoman is?
I have always thought of them as my husband's very own personal assistant. They basically, in the Navy, they would help the guys and gals with their any pay problems that they had. They would go directly to them. I know that I personally would bake cookies for my husband's yeoman because I cannot tell you how many times they saved him with paperwork and just making sure everything that needed to be done was done. And that's what we do. So we kind of we wanted to incorporate that into the name.
That's excellent. Well, before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can go for more information on your organization.
Sure. You can find us at www.youryourman.com.
And can they find you on any other social media sites?
Yes, we are on Facebook, Twitter. We have a Pinterest, YouTube, a Google Plus, and a Flickr. So, and they're all under our name, which is the Your Yeoman.
Excellent. Well, I sure appreciate you being with us tonight, Lori.
Oh, great. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. You have a great evening.
You too. Bye.
AWTR listeners, stay tuned for our AWTR Minute and more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army Family Empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. That's ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Eating What You Watch. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Researchers are concerned about kids eating what they watch. Researchers at Michigan State University examined data on online video games called AdverGames, targeting children ages 2 to 11 years by food marketers. The researchers looked at 145 sites with 439 brands being marketed. Lorraine Weatherspoon says sites typically promoted high-calorie and high-sodium foods. Colleague Elizabeth Taylor Quilliam says the kids might miss the subtle advertising.
They don't know that they're seeing an ad. They think they're playing a game. If they enjoy the game and they enjoy the character, those positive feelings may transfer to the product that's being advertised.
The study in the journal Preventing Chronic Disease was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, thanks so much for listening to our show this great Monday evening. Hope you're staying warm. Next week is the last show of the season. That's the last show of the year. We do take December 23rd and January whatever it is. What is it? Is it December 30th? I think it's the 23rd and the 30th. It is. And we will be back on January 6th. Before then, December 16th show next Monday, Santa Claus, you know him? That big jolly guy, the jolly old elf with the round belly. With like a bowl full of jelly. You know that guy? He's going to be on our show. Believe it or not, my kids are beside themselves excited, okay? And NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, are our special guests for our annual holiday show. It is going to be epic. We want you to be here. The kids can call in and talk with Santa. And we've got limited spots, limited time, so make sure that you are on the air and ready to talk. You guys have about 2 minutes to talk to Santa, and then we got to go to the next call. So anyhow, it's going to be exciting, and Nora's got good stuff for you. I don't know about you guys. That's a Christmas tradition for us. We always have so much fun with it. But anyhow, that's what we're doing. And so we'll see you here next week for our last show.
Yeah, and in the meantime, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Army Wife Network and our blog, lovingasoldier.com. And also don't forget to soak up all the knowledge available on our main site, Army Wife Network.
All right, thanks for joining me tonight, Mallory. I appreciate your help, and you are a natural.
Thank you. It was really fun.
You'll have to be back. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives, and this is Army Wives Talk Radio's AWN Core Team, and we are signing out. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week. Don't miss it.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.